Our song leaders are Brother Hank Davis, Jr. Our opening prayer will be worded by our Brother Bob Bowen. And our speaker this morning is our Brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, God is Able. That's God is Able. The scripture for this morning's sermon take place from the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 3, and verses 16 through 18. Our scripture reader this morning is our brother Tommy Claiborne. Presiding at the Lord's table will be our brother Charles Hopkins, Jr., and myself. And then at the appropriate time this morning, our brother Charles Hopkins, Jr. will also lead us in our closing prayer. Our first song this morning, Brother Davis, be hymn number 285. 285. That'll be our first song this morning. Our brother Davis will lead us in. 285. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Lord. Our Father, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one that's here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and the physical health and the mental wherewithal, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds, Father. We can safely travel, openly assemble together, Father, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth there this morning, Father. Our Lord, we just pray that all of our acts of worship that we conduct this morning, that all would be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that they all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. Our Father, we also ask, Lord, that if there be any among us this morning, Father, that have never put you on through baptism, Father, that you might prick their hearts and bless them with the courage to make their needs known, Father, while your grace and mercy is extended unto them, Lord. Father, we ask these in all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Morning, church. 285, no doubt the one for City Hall, being great business.
There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Nor could he all our souls diseases. No, not one. No, not one. And you know, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No, not so dark that his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Well, opening prayer this morning, if you would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 435. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. Let us see.
Time is filled with swift transition. Lord, all forever can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Jump on something eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand and trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever it may bring, if I pray for still more closely to Him cling. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hope to God's unchanging hand. And when your journey is completed, and if to God you have it true, then faith and Christ are home in glory. You're in rapture, so will you. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on faith eternal and hope to God's unchanging hand.
Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we pray that you'll hear our prayers of intercession, that you'll be with us, you'll comfort us in our times of despair and of sorrow, and you'll lift us up and help us to celebrate in times of joy. But this day, as we come to you, dear Father, we ask that especially you be with those of our number and those who are our friends that, and our neighbors, that you'll comfort them, dear Father. Pray that you'll be with Mark Zach, who is the son-in-law of our brother, of our sister, Phyllis Carr, and you'll also be with Lillian Shaw as she is recovering from a broken hip. You'll be with our sister Janice Baldwin, Jeff Slegg, Debbie Hilton, Brother Jerry White, George Blakely and his wife. Be with Madison McClune, the 7-month-old granddaughter of the Pierce family. And be with our brother James Gatewood. Be with our sister Debbie Lawson as she is in hospice care. And help us all, dear Father, that we'll remember them and to pray for them and what we can to help them and their families. Dear Father, we also pray for our neighbors in the community that they can live in without fear. You be with us, dear Father, we'll have compassion and love for all people. Be with our leaders, dear Father, that they may preside over a peaceable country and a country that seeks to follow you. Help us all, dear Father, to realize that our blessings come from you and all goodness comes from you. And help us not to forget it. Dear Father, we pray for this congregation that you will be with us, that regardless of our number, that we will be spiritually minded, that we'll follow you and your Son's teachings, and that we'll thrive on your word. For we ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
And prepare our minds for taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. We'll please take the hymn book to hymn number 371. 371. When we meet in sweet communion, we will sing all three verses of this hymn. 307. Let us sing.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feasting Lord is spread, hearts are brought in love serving God, while partaking of the bread, precious feast, all else surpassing, what trust but for you and me. While we feast, Christ and He whispers, "Do this, my well-loved me. God so loved one love, just measure, love and gave the best of what was with that last treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious all else surpassing, what trust love for you and me. While we Christ and the whispers, my memory, feasting on all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sup Christ gently whispers, this is by memory. Preciously, all else surpassing, what trust love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers,
as we just sang, do this in my memory, we've now come to the portion of our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I just wanted to read a couple verses to provide some context for what the Lord's Supper is. This is coming from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start at verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the churches in Corinth at the time, because, see, they were confusing the Lord's Supper as a common meal and partaking of it improperly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." But we've just read, the Lord's Supper consists of two emblems. You have the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you have the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. This isn't to be mistaken for a common meal or anything like that. It's a time for us to partake of these two emblems and to think back on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he endured, and all that he willingly gave up, which was his life for each and every one of us. So that's something to keep in mind. As we've read in the scriptures, we'll do the same. We'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll offer thanks for the cup and then partake of that emblem as well. So at this time, would you bow with me as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're so thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're so thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to willingly offer up his body on that cruel cross, Father, enabling us all to have the chance for eternal life with thee one day, Lord. And Father, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents that body that he offered up on our behalf, Father, help us to clear our hearts and minds of any other thoughts, Father. Help us to solely concentrate back on Christ and for what he did for us, Father. And that in doing so, Lord, we might partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask this in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to be able to gather together on this Lord's Day, come together on the first day of the week, to be able to come together, fellowship, worship unto you, and for this opportunity to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper, to come together and clear our minds, to reflect and remember that sacrifice, to know that thy son could have called forth legions of angels to save himself. But his love was so great for us that he was willing to endure the suffering, the pain, and to give his life on that cross so that we did not have to suffer the punishment of sin that we deserved. And we just pray that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy son's precious blood, that we'll partake of it in a way and in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for our nice son, Jesus' name. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper, but it's possible someone may have been inadvertently missed. So if you were happened to be missed in the passing of either the bread or the cup, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. That concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we're going to move on to another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. Much like Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 clarifies that the Lord's Supper is an act on the first day of the week, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, it clarifies that the act of giving or the taking up of the collection is a part of the worship that's instructed to us as New Testament Christians on the first day of the week. The next book over in 2 Corinthians chapter, starting at chapter 9, starting in verse 6, Apostle Paul is clarifying there about the manner that we're supposed to give on the first day of the week. And there's a couple verses that I want to read from there. This will be 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and actually I'm going to start at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that you may be ready as a manner of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's the heart and the mindset and the mentality that we should have as we get back to the Lord on the first day of the week. But let's keep that in mind as we have the opportunity to get back now. First, we'll go to the Lord and offer thanks for this opportunity, and then we'll pass the trays. Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're so thankful for all of the many, many blessings of life that you so richly bestow upon each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, as we have the opportunity now to get back to you on the first day of the week, Father, we pray, Lord, that we'd all have that willing heart, Father, that cheerful heart, that nobody would give under a matter of compulsion or obligation, Father, but out of pure love for you, Father. And we pray, Lord, that the collection received will help to further the work of the church here, Father, and broaden the borders of your kingdom, Lord. For we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you would, please, mark the hymn book, hymn number 399. 399 will be the song of invitation this morning without him, 399. After marking that hymn, if you would, please, turn your hymn book to hymn number 191. 191, He's My King. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, 191, and I'll ask all those who can easily stand, please stand at this time. All day long, oh Jesus, I am singing. He's my song of joy. All the while, you keep my heart still ringing. For his love is everything to me. He's my King. And though I dearly love him, he is my King. No other is above him. All day long, in rapture praise I sing. He is my Savior, he's my King. Streams of love, we are bound to tears of feeling. From his heart, the everlasting spring. This is why in faith in him I'm sowing. For this why a hymnless song I sing. He's my King, and though I dearly love him, he's my King, no other is above him. All day long, and praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King. In his light, I'm going home to glory. With a soul who trusts his matchless grace. Going home to sing and tell the story. In the blessed sunshine of his face. He's my King. And daily love him. He is my King. No other is above him. All day long,
in raptured praise I see. He's my Savior, He's my King. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long, in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King.
You may be seated, please.
Good morning to all. Today's lesson will be taken from Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And the title of this lesson is God is Able. And I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, starting with verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." And here's your brother, Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody who's here. Always good to be in the Lord's house. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us and allowing us to be here for this worship service today. God is good. Before I begin, I do have another announcement to add on to the announcements. As you know, For a few weeks, we had to cancel service, and you didn't get to put in your contribution those weeks, and we want everything to try to stay on schedule around here. As you know, we do have a lot of expenses, so when you don't get to put in your contribution, we hope everyone will put it in next week, so you can get to put it in next week, the following week. And when you get your bulletin today, there is a sheet in the bulletin. It's a financial page. We want everybody to take a look at that. And the very bottom of that page, where it's talking about the weekly contribution, is consistently below expenses. So please read that paragraph, get familiar with that, and we pray that everyone will take heed. Well, today is good to see all of our visitors. We are always happy to welcome visitors here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We hope your visit today is going to be uplifting and going to be rewarding for you. You know, if you are visiting and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, well, this could be the beginning of a very beautiful relationship between you and the Lord's Church. Certainly, we believe this is the Lord's Church because it is founded and rooted in the Scripture, founded and rooted in what the Bible has taught concerning the Church of Christ. You know, there's so much going on in the world today that it can get you down. You know, you've been out there in the world and Satan tried to beat you up last week. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's good to know that you have a place where you can come, a city of refuge, where you can cast all your cares and your burdens on Him, for He cares for you. So whatever you're going through, I want you to know that God is able. Just want to assure you that God will see you through. Things may be raging and the winds are blowing in your life right now, but God will see you through. One of my favorite sayings is, God will take care of you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37, verse 25. So today our hearts are going out to all of our members who are having trouble with their sicknesses. And we know that God is aware of you. You know, a lot of people are here today, not feeling well, but you came out anyhow. But you know we need to serve God when we are feeling well, and we need to serve God when we are feeling not so well. Those who are here, who've been away for a while, good to have you back in our midst today. You know, God sends us through some things sometimes to make us stronger. You know, everywhere I turn this past week, including yesterday, I was trying to figure out how did I cut my finger. But anyway, God took care of that. It's gone now. You wouldn't believe it. God is able. He looks out for all of us. And let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with shedding a few tears. You know, God is working with us. Sometimes you have to shed some tears. Jesus had to pause and weep for his loved ones. John 11:35 tells us Jesus wept. And I know if Jesus wept, there will be some weeping days in our lives. Just keep on living. You may not be weeping now, but weeping will come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Psalms 30 in the verse is 5. He will turn this thing around. He'll turn your sorrow into joy. Turn with me, if you will, to that scripture that was read to you, Daniel chapter 3. The scripture that was read, the verses were 16 through 18. You know, that's a very familiar story, and I thought it would be fitting today just to give us the assurance of an almighty God. Look at verse 16 as we read it for emphasis. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You all know the story about those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You might also know them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Still talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't sell themselves short when it came to bowing down to that golden image. They said, we're not going to bow down. No, that image stood about 90 feet tall, made out of solid gold. The king told everybody, he said, when you hear the sound of these instruments, I want you to bow down and worship me. Well, you know, when that sound of that instrument started, people in that little village, that little town, bowed down. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about what the world is doing. As long as you know you are serving God, you are following what God told you to do. You don't have a thing to worry about. Even if you have to stand by yourself, you stand on for the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego did not bow down to that image. Let me tell you something. You know, when you stand for truth, folk will tell on you. Folk saw what was happening. They ran back to tell the king. You know those three Hebrew boys? They did not bow down. Well, king was furious. He was angry. He said, bring them before me. I want you to bring them here. I'm going to give them another chance, but they know they have got to bow down. Because if they don't bow down, I've got a penalty for them. So I'm glad those three young men had something inside of them. You know, church, you've got to have something inside of you. When Satan comes your way, if it's not already inside of you, you won't be able to stand. You'll try to be like the world. So we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. Not only did they not bow down, they stood for something. They stood for the Lord. You know, let's go over here to verse 17. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. That is the title of this lesson today. God is able. God is able. You see, some people think that they can make it by themselves, but got to remember, God is here. God can save a sin-sick soul this morning. He's able to handle your problems, my problems, and anybody's problems that come up. So not only must we know that God is able, you first got to know him, you got to know him for yourself. Mama can't know him for you. Daddy can't know him for you. You got to know him for yourself. I've heard young people say, you know, Mama or Daddy made me come to church, but you've got a soul that must be saved. You've got a responsibility to God. Well, I'm just here because they made me come. One of these days, you're going to wish for just one more day that you can be in the house of the Lord. One of these days, you may be wishing for just one more chance to sing praises to God Almighty. You got to know God. You got to know him for yourself. Good to come to service. Always happy to welcome people to service. I wish we would come back Sunday evening. I wish we would come back on Wednesday evening as well. Because once you get to know God, you wouldn't want to miss out on what God can do for you. That's why when we come together, saints spur one another along. We encourage one another because we know why we are here. When you know that it was God who woke you up this morning, it was God who put food on your table, it was God who put clothing on your back, God who put money in your checking account so you can pay your bills, when you know all of that, you will come on and worship God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we know God and we stand for God. These three young men were able to say that in the midst of everybody else bowing down. Look at what he says in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Meaning, we serve a God who is able to perform when needed. When we look at God's ableness, when we look at how he made this creation, we look at how God was able to speak, and things began to happen. We see where he said, let there be light. And there was light. See where he took the stars and he flung them up into the sky and the moon. And everything that he did was good. As a matter of fact, it was very good. When we look at Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, God took care of them. You know, Pharaoh had them trapped against the Red Sea. God said, Moses, stand still. See the salvation of God. That's powerful, you know. He took care of them. Look at Daniel in the den of the lion. God took care of them. Got to remember and trust in the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter 7, the verses 25, says he's able to save us to the utmost. He tells us that if we want to be saved, God will and has provided a way for us. God's Son came to this earth. He died on the cross. For my sins, for your sins, for our sins, God is able. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyhow. He didn't have to send his only begotten Son to that cross, but he did it anyhow. Jesus didn't have to die on that cross, but he did it anyhow. He didn't have to go into a borrowed tomb, but he did it anyhow. And I'm so glad that he is able, because early one Sunday morning, early, while it was still dark outside, you know that's early in the morning, before the dew was off the ground, before the birds composed their morning song, before the sun kissed the distant horizon, before the wind began to rustle the leaves, before Mama got in the kitchen to make the biscuits, God got his Son up out of that grave. Jesus stepped out with power. Stepped out, he said, all power is given unto me. All power. In heaven and in earth. He shed his blood for the church where we could be saved in his church, Christ's church, church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ. Well, what else did he do? Not only is he able to save us, but he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him. Let me turn in our scripture over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and the verses 12. It says, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. And I got to stop right there for just a moment. You know, we cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We just can't be ashamed of him. You got to stand up for Jesus wherever you go, in your home, in your school, on your job, at the gym, in your neighborhood. Stand up for Jesus. Let the world know whose side you're on. Let them know. Don't be ashamed. Nevertheless, for I know whom I have believed. How many know the Lord? If you don't know the Lord, when those storms of life begin to blow your way, you just run away. When hard times come and those pressures come all around you, you've got to know the Lord. You've got to know him for yourself. He says, for I know in whom I have believed. It's powerful. Not only do I know him, it simply means you got to know that you know that you know that you know him. All right. Some say, well, I go over there because my family goes over there. Well, do you know the Lord? Let me share something with you. God will send us through some difficult times so that we can get a chance to know him. And when you recognize I've got to know God for myself, you make it through some of those storms of life, I'm going to tell you, when you look back, you'll say, oh, I thought I knew the Lord before. But now. Job was praying. He was thankful for everything he had. But in the midst of life, in the spur of the moment, everything that he had was gone. That's why we can't get comfortable with this material things. We can't get comfortable with worldly things, because you can lose everything. Job said, I lost everything. I went down to nothing. My wife turned her back on me. My friends who I thought were with me, they ended up leaving me, wondering what I had done wrong. I even had to question God myself. God, why am I going through all of this? But you know, we got to remember, sometimes bad things happen to good people. So don't let your faith be shaken. Don't lose hope. Job, at the end of that chapter, he said, first I had only heard about the Lord, but now that I've gone through all of these hard times, I know the Lord will make a way. He'll make a way for you. When you go through bad health, when you go through sickness, when you go through financial difficulties, when children and things are just not working out, turn it over to the Lord. That's why he's there. He'll take care of you. You burden down, turn it over. Learn how to be like those three Hebrew boys. They said, I know the Lord. They said, I am persuaded. You be like Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Folks, that's a testimony if I ever heard one. How many will hang in there? When you've been knocked down to your knees, will you still love the Lord? Job, in losing everything that he had, everything that was important to him, he still fell down to worship God. God is able. When you give your life over to Christ, just like he said, that scripture is over in Revelation, it's chapter 2 and the verses 10. I want you to hear something as he talks to us. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. In other words, just because we are in the body of Christ, that doesn't mean bad things won't come our way. Doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer. He says, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what might happen down the road. We don't know what's going to happen down the road, but we put our trust in God. We put our trust in him. Further, he says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, one thing, I'm glad he put a number on it, but that 10 days just means it's not going to last forever. Some folk want to give up too soon. Some folk want to give up after the first day. But I want to tell you this morning, the Lord knows how much we can bear. But Brother Baldwin, I just can't go any further. Yes, you can. God is by your side. You can go all the way. We got to recognize we may not be able, but God is able. I want to finish that verse over in Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. In other words, so while we're trying to figure things out, God has already got it worked out. He's that far ahead of us. God is able. He doesn't take that load from you, but he gets under there. He says, I will help you. He'll make it easier for you. We got to hang in there. We got to hang in there when we don't want to hang in there. We got to come on out to worship service when we don't want to come out to worship service. You know, he said, but if not, well, Brother Baldwin, the Lord must have forgot my address, because when he came by to bless everybody else, he passed right over me. But if not. But Brother Baldwin, I've been sick for a mighty long time, and things are just not going well. But if not, I want to let you know something. Some if not days are going to come in everybody's life. If not. If you don't get the word that you were expecting, you got to know God is still able. What do you mean by that? I mean, he's able to take care of any of your problems and your needs. Paul. When I hear old Paul say, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, and I called on him three times, and he came back, and he said, my grace. So whatever you're going through, he will equip you to get through it. Why? Because he said, my grace. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he said, my grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 9. It was that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. He's able. Well, that story about the three Hebrew boys didn't stop there. They didn't give in to the old king. They were going to be thrown into this furnace. King was so upset. He was furious about those boys. They tell me that the king was so angry. He had those boys bound up. He made the furnace 7 times hotter than it would normally be. I'm glad that when we have to go through the fire, God is right there with us. He tells me those boys were bound up. The men who threw them into the fire, can you believe that? They were burned. That's got to be a hot place. They got burned. But once those boys got into that fire, those bounds and things just dropped off of them. They fell away, the things that were holding them down. The Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking around in the furnace. So, you know, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he'll make your problems a little bit lighter. He'll make your burdens a little more bearable. You got to hold on to God's hand. Well, these boys got to walking around in that furnace. The old king got nosy as to what was going on. The king had to get up and look over in the furnace. The king said, I see Shadrach. I see Meshach. I see Abednego. But I see somebody else, and it looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you, he'll get in that fire with you. He'll put the fire out for you. Got to hold on. Not only is he able, he's more than able, and he is available. Serve the Lord, and when those storms begin to blow you away, and you ask, Lord, why me? Just know that God is able. We might leave God, but God would never leave us. Matter of fact, he left us a plan. He left us a plan that we can go by. We called it the plan of salvation. That is where you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. Those who are already in the body of Christ but have faded away, been unfaithful, done things you know you shouldn't have done, you need to come back. You need to be restored to the body. And so today, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice. Make that choice today for Jesus. While together we stand and sing.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting. Like a ship without a sail, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can turn him away. Jesus, oh, Jesus,
with